Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut, session 51, Seth.
Yes, we've reached the half centenary mark. I don't even know what that's called.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but it's something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, the mics are on. Let us roll.
Yes, we got a little outside the Midwest, but they are familiar with the area, so yes. let's get into it.
We asked the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage, hailing from the soul of Kentucky, the band Otis. Hanging out with us today is their vocalist, guitarist, Boone Froggatt. Boone, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Boone, I got to ask right away, man, did I get your name right? Because that's a great name. I got to get that right.
You did. Boone Froggatt.
That's awesome.
That's how we say it down here anyway. When we go
right
to Europe, they call me Froger.
Froger. They sound fancy, yeah.
Yeah. I'll let them buy with it. I don't mind.
Boone, I want to make sure that we cover the rest of the band, too. You mind telling us all the other members?
Sure. We got the co-founder of the band, John Mark Seeley, on bass, Alex Wells on guitar, and Dale Myers on drums.
You guys have such a great, unique sound. I'm looking forward to getting into this with you. I do want to let the audience know right now, along with the conversation, you can go right to their website and put a face to the name and to the voice, theotisband.com, theotisband.com. Be sure to bookmark that page. If you don't do it now, you're going to be doing it by the end of the hour. So we're going to be playing a lot of their music and having some fun getting to know the band and getting to know Boone here a little bit. And if you don't mind, Boone, I'd like to start where I usually like to start with an origin story. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and some of that?
Sure, man. I'm from here in Southern Kentucky. I've lived in the Glasgow, Kentucky, Edmonton, Kentucky area my whole life. Always been in music. My grandfather was an old-time fiddler at the competition level here in Kentucky and placed in the state championship several times. And my dad, he played like a honky-tonk guitar, like Buck Owens, Merle Haggard. So I had a steady diet of roots music growing up, and it kind of helps me have a unique ear. I kind of hear things differently than other people, because I wouldn't listen to the same things that kids my age were listening to growing up. So kind of a unique background. They had me on stage with them at 8 years old, and up until my teens, I don't think I'd heard any blues or rock and roll at all until I got in my dad's cassette tape collection, and I discovered B.B. King. And once I heard B.B. hit that first note, it changed my life, man. I was on a journey from that point to discover and chase that sound.
Man, as soon as you said that, I was brought back to being a little kid and my mom playing B.B. King for me. And hearing Lucille and him work together for the first time, and just it brought me back, man. That's such a cool story. That's so interesting to hear. And really interesting about your grandfather. It was your grandfather, you said, right, that was a fiddle player?
Yeah, he was a fiddle player, and I didn't know who they were when I was a kid, but I was meeting people like Sam Bush and Ralph Stanley, and as I got older, I was like, hey, those are some pretty iconic people for a kid to meet.
Boone, where does the name Otis come from? How did the band get its name?
Greg Martin, the guitarist from the Kentucky Headhunters, had a hand in naming the band. There was a band called Otis in Louisville, Kentucky around the 1970s that were like a blues rock power trio, but they really never made it past the local scene. But the name always stuck with Greg. He was like, man, that's a great name. So he kind of told us the story, and we needed a name for the band. He's like, you guys should take this and run with it. So we did, and here we are, two albums down the road with it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
It's such a cool story. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Kentucky Headhunters, too.
Yeah,
great band. Boone, you mentioned your grandfather in that. What was the first instrument you played? Was it a fiddle? Was it something like that?
They started me out on drums because they wanted me to learn timing. And he took my dad took every piece of the drum kit away but the snare and the bass drum. He said, if you can master these two, then we'll start adding in pieces. But we want you to get your timing down. So that's how I started and where I kind of got my timing from. And then from there, I moved on. I learned to play mandolin a little bit, and then guitar. But, like I said, once I heard once I got in my dad's cassette tape collection and heard B.B. King, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, I was like, y'all have this bluegrass stuff.
Right on, right on. You know, and you said the mandolin is one of my favorite instruments, and it's such a like I now I'm hearing it in some of like your music and stuff too. One of the things I enjoyed about your music, I don't feel like you can categorize it. I know that you know, people will try, or artists, you know, record producers, some of those things that goes on certainly in the industry. But I listened to your music and I couldn't put my finger on, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. It has such a unique round sound to it. What are some of you and the band's influences?
Oh man, we have so many influences. Of course, 50s blues was a big influence on us, like the Chess Records era, like Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. Those they don't really get credit for, but those guys were trailblazers, and mm-hmm. they were creating a genre and breaking all the rules. And we love the freedom that they played the music with, and just the spirit of it, because they were there, you know, just they were there to have a good time and continue their culture and tell their story. And that's what we love about blues music. And of course, 60s like Southern soul were really inspired by, like the stuff that was done at Stax and Atlantic. Of course, we love the Motown sound too. But man, it's like some of those songs were so arrangement based that mm-hmm. they didn't groove as much as like the stuff from Stax and Atlantic. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big influence on us. And of course, just like the British blues and rock and roll that was going on in the 60s. You know, we just lost John Mayall. Mm-hmm. Of course, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers,
yep.
a big influence on us. And we got to, you know, through that band, you get to hear Eric Clapton and Peter Green and Mick Taylor and all these great players, and just classic rock in general. Definitely the more improvisational stuff we love, like Cactus and Vanilla Fudge and Mitch Ryder, that, you know, that whole kind of soul rock thing.
Oh, I love the fact he just mentioned Vanilla Fudge. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. All right.
I haven't seen my partner over here light up like that in a while, man. That was great. That was fantastic. Great influence. And, you know, you say that, and I get a feel of that listening to the music. I get a feel of a lot of those influences and a lot of, for lack of a better word, a tribute to a lot of that styles of music as well.
Yeah, we try to take all our influences and just use them as a vehicle to, you know, create something, you know, more progressive, because, you know, you can still go see a lot of these classic bands, or you can see, you know, a tribute band play that music, but we want to take something old and make something new out of it.
Mm. My favorite artist, writer growing up, and still is, was Hunter S. Thompson. And Hunter talked a lot about the Kentucky area growing up over there. Whether it was him or actors like Johnny Depp or musicians like the Everly Brothers, or you mentioned the Kentucky Headhunters earlier, My Morning Jacket, and a recent band and mm-hmm. stuff. Kentucky doesn't just have a sound or a voice, it has a vibe. I don't know how you put that into words necessarily, John, what is it about Kentucky that brings that out of people?
Man, the Kentucky just has a special spirit about it. I think a lot of it is where we're located geographically in the nation. Mm. Because if you're in terms of musical influences, you know, we got Chicago right above us, and then we got Nashville, Memphis, Tennessee right below mm-hmm. us. You know, if you keep going down, you know, you get to, you know, deep south and the Delta. So all those sounds just kind of come together in Kentucky. And I think musically, I think that's what makes us special. And of course, we're as a state, we're very well known for bluegrass and country and folk mm-hmm. music. But there's a lot of blues and rock in Kentucky too. So there's a lot to discover, man. I mean, we've been, you know, halfway around the world twice, and there's nothing like coming back home to Kentucky.
Right on, right on. And well said, very well said.
You know, real quick, James, I wanted to point out that a lot of people may have that preconceived notion of Kentucky being a certain way, like he was talking bluegrass and stuff like that, but you hit it on right on the head, Boone. It is a border state, kind of. It's still considered kind of like in the middle, along with Tennessee. And the way you just talked about, you know, all this like convergence of all these different styles in Kentucky, I never thought about it that way. But man, that's a great way of describing it.
Thanks.
Boone, how does the writing process work for the band? Is there a main writer? Do you all work on that part?
Man, we write as a band. Like, the best thing we can do is just get the four of us in a room and just start jamming, start playing on something, and then it'll, you know, parts will materialize, and we'll say, hey, let's take a look at what we're doing here, or let's keep jamming and see where this goes. You know, a lot of times I've tried to bring riffs in or ideas in, and I still do that from time to time. But when the band starts playing, it just takes on such a different shape than what I was hearing in my head, that I'm like, oh yeah, this is so much better. So I'm kind of to the point where I really don't even try to bring things in. I just try to let it happen organically, because we split all our writing royalties equally, and we write as a band. And I think that's one thing that makes you a band. I mean, there's a lot of bands out there that they've got one guy that writes the songs, and he records the demos at home, and he's like, all right, you play this, you play this, you play this. And then at that point, it kind of turns into something else. It's not, it's not really a band. I mean, the magic of a band is all the members, you know, playing off the transitions and nuances in the music. Like all the bands that they're in the 70s that we love, especially live, like, the Allman Brothers Band, Humble Pie, the way they played off each other. That's really what we're trying to capture and go for.
Man, referencing Humble Pie, this guy Boone, I'm going to warn you right now, man, you're coming back.
We're bringing you back. Yeah, he knows the stuff.
We're bringing you back, man. You mentioned being around influence, being on stage yourself at a young age and everything, man. But do you remember your first concert?
I do. I remember my first big concert, which was 38 Special and Skynyrd, which was a really good thing for me to see.
Right. How much did that influence you and in how you were on stage?
Oh man, it's a huge influence. Of course, I'd listen to all that music, and then to finally see them, and at that point there was a few more original members in the band. I mean, I was real young when this happened. It was at Starwood in Nashville, Tennessee, which isn't even there anymore. But man, that was my first big rock show, and the crowd was amazing. I'd never seen a crowd like that. Like, everybody, you know, had on the Skynyrd T-shirts, and you know, there was people getting temporary tattoos in the parking lot. I'm like, man, what is this about?
Boone, I'm curious. One of my probably my favorite musician was Miles Davis. I really loved a lot of his work, all of his work. And one of the things I really liked about Miles was late in life, he found a love of painting and kind of like went into painting almost as much as he did jazz. And he found it as another great creative outlet. You, the work as a musician, I imagine it takes up so much time and energy and passion of yours. But do you have any other creative outlets? Do you have any other things you like doing creatively?
Man, I really enjoy 1960s and 70s horror movies, especially right, like the British stuff from like Hammer and Amicus, you know, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee. That is really cool to me. And I collect vintage books and records, which is not really a huge step away from music, but that's just one thing that I enjoy doing.
It's very cool. It was very cool. And you had me with Christopher Lee.
Yeah, man.
The great Christopher Lee.
We're going to have to bring him back to just do a show about 60s and 70s horror movies.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
God. I just want to talk to him about that now.
Absolutely. No. Yeah, man. You've got some new friends around here, man. I'll tell you that.
All right.
Boone, I'm curious. Do you guys have any pre-show rituals? Do you have anything that you guys do to set up, get ready, get in the right mindset?
Man, we just... especially if we have a green room, we'll all get together, kind of put the instruments down. We'll go over the set list. I'll usually put on some Muddy Waters or Howlin' Wolf on the phone and just listen to it. We all kind of talk and just try to honor the great vibe of all our influences and go out there. And we have the hard job of trying to bring all these people together and make them forget about the world for a little while.
Right on. I'm curious whether it was you or a band member. It's hard to say, to put a finger on this necessarily, but when did you know? When did you know that this was what you wanted to do, that you wanted to pursue this as a career?
Man, when the first time I got to see the Kentucky Headhunters live, it was – it was a really magical experience. They did this song. They don't do it often anymore. It's from a song called from an album called Songs on the Grass Green Ranch, and the song's called Love That Woman. And Greg Martin plays a he was playing a it was a Lucite body Dan Armstrong, and it was tuned to open G. And Richard, the other guitar player, is playing like this 52 Telecaster, and you see those classic double bass drums up there, and it was just like, man, it's like if I could just do that once, you know, I would be happy. And then, you know, to grow up around those guys, you know, we're not from a very big town at all. We got like two stoplights, and then to see their tour bus, you know, leaving the grocery store as a kid, it was very inspiring. Like, hey, you don't have to really move to a big city to do this. You can make this area, you know, part of what you do and take it all over the world.
We are speaking with Boone Froggatt from the band Otis, who are going to be coming here live real soon. Boone, I see that you guys got some shows coming up in Alabama, Illinois, Minnesota. The touring schedule, how does it go for the band on the road? You guys enjoy being on the road? Is it fun taking in these new avenues, these new places?
Oh, yeah, man. It's so much fun to go out and play different areas, especially areas that may not have as many, you know, southern rock, blues rock bands come through. Of course, it seems like the more north we go, the more we're appreciated. And, of course, over in Europe, we're really appreciated. But sometimes when we play the south, it's kind of like, oh, great, another long-haired band playing guitar harmony. But, you know, there's pockets of people that really enjoy us there, too. But it's really what we live for, man. Like during the week when we're not playing, we'll all be texting each other. It's like, man, wish we was in the van right now, which is kind of funny. But we really love what we do and love to get the opportunity to take it in front of people.
Otis is going to be joining us here in Vesper at Cornfest 2024 coming up on September 7th. They're going to be hitting the stage about 8 o'clock. Be sure to get there. It's a free show. Make sure to take this in and take this band in and enjoy. Just a couple of more questions for you, Boone, and we'll let you get going here. I imagine you got a busy day ahead. If you could play any stage, any venue, Madison Square Garden, Red Rocks, any of these places, is there a place that I want to play there? I want to get there one day.
Man, I really want us to play Antone's in Austin, Texas. It's not a really big place, but to us, it's really important because the original Antone's is where Billy Gibbons was snuck in as a kid and first saw people like Jimmy Reed and Albert Collins and Albert King, and Jimmy Vaughn was in the house band there, and he was backing all those people up. So just it would be a really cool rite of passage to go play Antone's.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a great answer.
That's great. Wow, I did not know that. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It almost speaks, you know, the more we're talking about this and your influences, your upbringing, so much of this, it almost feels like you didn't really have a choice, man. Like this was going to be your path. You certainly did. But it feels like this things were just like aligning up to make you this amazing musician.
It's in my blood, man. It's like you know, being on stage and playing music was just what the family did as a kid. And when I got up there with them, you know, it felt more comfortable than sitting out in the crowd and watching them, because, you know, then I was up there with them, had that kind of family camaraderie, and I was we're very fortunate to be brought up in the same area as the Kentucky Headhunters. The drummer Fred actually bought a tractor from my grandfather, and that's how far back my family goes with their family.
That's right, awesome.
That's great.
That's great.
These next two a couple are going to be a little bit tougher questions here. But what was the best or some of the best advice you were given when you were first starting out as a musician?
Man, I've been given so much advice, and a lot of it's been really good. I wasn't first starting out, but I thought this was really good advice, and a really kind thing for Billy Gibbons to tell us was play what you want to hear and stay on your own path. He said what he was trying to say was it really doesn't matter the talent level or maybe the popularity of what you're trying to do, but if you're playing the music that you're hearing in your head, then you're on the right track.
Is that the kind of advice you would give to a young musician, somebody out there listening? One of the things we try to do with this show is artists supporting artists and trying to bring up other artists and influence other artists, inspire them, or hopefully give them some help them navigating their careers.
Absolutely, man. I would say that same thing, and I would say, you know, just find your own thing and stick with it, because if you're chasing a trend, you're already too late. You need to find the one thing that makes you tick and makes you different from everybody else, and try to push that forward.
Well, and I imagine it also makes you want to keep doing it. If you're trend chasing, like you said, it's something you don't really want to do. Why would you continue doing it? If you're on the path that you guys are on, it sounds like you said, you get excited. It's like, why aren't we touring right now? Kind of thing. Why aren't we playing? And you could tell by the passion in your voice. That's why you want to just keep doing it.
Oh, exactly, man. It's like we run into a lot of these, you know, flavor of the week bands on the road. And those guys are like just always tired and they don't really want to play. But then you get to play with some of these, you know, legacy acts that are, you know, just glad to still that they're still alive and still be doing it, and they have such a deep appreciation for what they're doing. So it's there's a difference, man.
Boone, how would you describe what it is to go to an Otis show, to experience an Otis show?
Man, it's like being a part of our family, because we always take time and visit with people that's there. We care about everybody there. I mean, we're just amazed that people will buy a ticket to see us and take time out of their Friday or Saturday night to come here to play a little bit. So that's everything in this business. With streaming, you know, you don't make all that much money off recorded music anymore. So our money's made off tickets and T-shirts, and you know, at the end of the night, the venue has to kick us out, because we just love visiting with everybody and talking, and we'll keep signing stuff and hanging out until the janitor's sweeping up.
It's fantastic, man.
That's great.
And we're going to tell people how they can see you in just a moment. But we wrap up with our hardest question for Boone Froggatt from the band Otis. Boone, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Oh, man, that's a hard one right there.
Always the hardest.
Always the hardest.
You're not alone, man.
Yeah.
that is a tough one. I'd have to say, man, that's hard.
It really is, man. I can't even answer it. I don't know why I ask it.
that's a tough one, man. But I really would have loved to meet John Lee Hooker.
Oh, wow.
Everybody I talked to said he had, you know, just a really special spirit about him, and just a very, very unique person. And I like meeting unique people. So I think I would like to have met John Lee Hooker.
We got to meet a really unique person today.
Yes,
we certainly did. You are awesome, man. And your band is amazing. The band is amazing. Really do love your music, love your sound, love what you guys are doing. Looking forward to seeing you at Cornfest soon. We're going to tell people before we wrap up today where they can catch you guys, your next couple of events. And certainly want to again tell you to bookmark the webpage, theotisband.com. If you didn't do it already, I told you you'd be doing it by the end of the interview. Theotisband.com. Boone, thank you again so much for joining us. Have a great show. We'll see you when you get here to Wisconsin.
Hey, enjoy talking to y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
All right,
man.
Thank you.
Seth, we just had a great time hanging out with Boone Froggatt from the band Otis. I want to let everybody know that the next couple of shows they have coming up, Thursday, September 5th, Otis is going to be live at the Austin Community Tavern in Steger, Illinois. Go meet them over there. Friday, September 6th, they'll be with the Kentucky Headhunters, Otis and the Pandemic, Sioux Rapids, Minnesota.
All right.
They get to
perform. Sioux Rapids, by the way.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I knew I was thinking of saying that wrong. But man, how cool they get to play with the Kentucky Headhunters.
He was talking about them.
That's wild, man.
It's crazy. It's awesome.
And of course, they're coming here to our neck of the woods Saturday, September 7th, 8 o'clock show, Cornfest.
Yeah, and Vesper.
Oh, Cornfest and Vesper is always a great time, and it is going to be a great one with Otis headlining there. It's going to be so much fun. Meet the band there. Say hi to them. Let them know you heard them on Director's Cut. Talk with them and enjoy, because they are a great band. And keep in mind, again, everybody, you can check out their music, not only in this hour here where we're going to be playing some of it for you, but you can find find out more at their website, theotisband.com, theotisband.com. Big thank you to Boone, his their management as well, reaching out to us.
It's great.
It's really fun. We made some new friends.
Yeah, we did.